Now then, a heartbreaking piece of compulsive storytelling taken from one of the world's greatest novels. Published in the 18th century, it's influenced and inspired many of the great European novels that followed. The beautiful young heiress, Clarissa Harlowe, falls for the charms of a notorious libertine, but Robert Lovelace's intentions are far from honourable.
Clarissa, The History of a Young Lady, by Samuel Richardson. Adapted in four parts by Hattie Naylor. Part 1. The Pursuit.
Harlow Place, the 12th of October, 1747. My dearest Anna, thank you for your letter. I will answer your inquiries as best I can. Mr. Lovelace first called upon us here some months ago. My brother was abroad, viewing his estates in Scotland, and I was in the Ivy Summer House, our most favourite place, dear Anna, busied in the accounts relating to the estate that my grandfather, as you know, had the goodness to bequeath me. Mr. Lovelace's visit was to my sister, Bella, and she came to me in the summer house upon his departure.
Such a handsome man, Clary. Do you think such a very handsome man?
I didn't see him, Bella.
Oh, did you not? Oh, he's very handsome, Clary. Clary, you don't think too handsome.
I didn't see him.
Oh, no. No. Clary?
Yes, Bella?
Maybe too handsome for me.
No, of course not.
Oh, he's a rogue, you know, quite wicked, I've heard people say. He didn't seem wicked, not wicked at all. He seemed a modest man.
People say all sorts of nonsense.
What are you doing?
Grandfather's accounts.
Oh, the estate. It's not yours, Clary. Not till Cousin Morden comes back.
I know.
To agree the settlements.
I hope to remain here, though, Bella, with you.
I'm not unbecoming, am I, Clary? Indeed, my features are not irregular. Some women are deemed passable who are very much my inferior.
Yes, Bella.
But you are so beautiful. What woman would not feel inferior standing by your side?
Bella.
It's true.
Would you like to help with the accounts?
No. I don't think our parents educated you in Greek and Latin and all your other very many accomplishments to spend your days adding up.
There's a little bit more to it than just adding up, Bella.
Well, it looks like adding up to me. Shall I get you an apple? They look so pretty from here. The Coxes this year are particularly scrumptious.
No, thank you. Bella, you aren't too angry that our grandfather has left me his estate?
Mr. Robert Lovelace, possibly the most handsome man in all of England, spent 95 minutes of his time with me. Today he amused me and took tea with me. What do I care about your estate, dear Clary? Excuse me, I can see a particularly enticing pippin.
But then, my dear Anna, his mood appeared to change. When he next visited Bella, he ignored her, entertaining my mother and uncle instead. On the third visit, he talked only of himself. This is how it was related. And by the fourth visit, having made no firm proposal to my Uncle Antony, who, with my father's blessing, had encouraged the suit, Bella, who is certainly unaccustomed to courtship, declined any further pursuit.
I am not one of his flirts!
No, Bella.
I am not! He's so unspeakably... Ooh.
What?
I don't know what. He should have asked, shouldn't he, by now, asked Uncle Antony, or at least something to say to imply that there was a real intent, that I mattered. He didn't even look at me during the last visit. Not one look. Clary, not one. He's laughing at me.
I'm sure he's not.
Some sort of amusement. You could just overlook me, can't you, if you wanted? Not like you.
Bella.
Well, that's it. I'm going to tell Uncle Antony to tell him that's it with him. A flirt.
And so, dear Anna, her rejection of his suit was made known through my Uncle Antony. But unfortunately, Mr. Lovelace saw fit to seek another visit with my papa and mamma.
It is thoughtful of you to call again, Mr. Lovelace. And I am sorry that our dear Bella has... Well, I am sorry for it.
Lady Harlow, you are very kind.
Joseph!
Yes, Lady Harlow?
Would you fetch Mr. Lovelace's hat and coat?
Of course, Lady Harlow.
It is of utmost importance to myself to know that I am still a welcome visitor here, and that I have not offended you in any manner.
As if you could. Clarissa!
I'm just on my way to the Ivy Summer House, Mama.
Clarissa, please do me the courtesy of meeting our guest, Mr. Lovelace. He is about to leave.
I just have some accounts to finish.
Clarissa!
Sorry, Mama.
She is our youngest child, Mr. Lovelace. A more virtuous and gentle young woman you are unlikely to find. This is Mr. Lovelace, Clarissa.
Good afternoon. Miss Harlow?
Mr. Lovelace.
It is a splendid afternoon, is it not?
One of the best autumn can offer.
One of the very best.
You are leaving us?
Your hat and coat, sir.
Thank you, Joseph.
You are leaving?
Yes, but I hope to return soon.
Yes.
Lady Harlow.
Oh.
Miss Harlow. How hard it is to go.
Well then, you must come again soon, Mr. Lovelace.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
I think you have made quite an impression, Clary. But they call him something, don't they?
Do they, Mama?
What is it? A liver. A liver something. Livertine. Lepertine. Oh, no, that's not it. Do you know what it is, Clary? Clary, where are you going?
To finish my accounts.
Still, you would look most handsome.
Who would?
You and... What do they call him?
I don't know, Mama. I will take tea with you later. I'm going to the Ivy House.
Lepertine. No, that's not it. Livertine. No. Nibbertine. No, Nibbertine. Hmm? Oh.
I was very concerned that his attentions might upset Bella, but when asked, she said she didn't care either way, though laughed perhaps a little too much when I said that he appeared to have far too good an opinion of his person. He then sent me a number of passionate letters, which I declined to acknowledge, feeling them to be quite inappropriate, and upon his next visit I asked him to desist in sending more. Indeed, it would appear that he expected a very different response. But his suit was not completely discouraged, and then my brother returned home.
Robert Lovelace? I'll give you Robert Lovelace. He's a womanising, gambling...
Hannah, you're listening in.
Well, such a row, miss. I didn't mean to. It's just that I was going in and, well, I was waiting until it all calmed down. Though there seems no sign of it.
We should go in, Hannah. We can't just listen to them outside.
Oh, you must, though, miss. You must listen to what they're saying.
You seem very charming.
Not to me.
Charming? Well, of course he's charming, Mother. Anyone can be charming.
Yes, anyone, Mama.
Well, if you don't think he's suitable, James...
Of course he's not suitable.
See? You! They're talking about you, miss.
It is still very wrong to spy, Hannah.
He's a notorious libertine.
Oh, that's the word.
What word?
I couldn't remember the word.
What are you talking about?
The word. I couldn't remember the word, though I'm not sure what it means.
What is she talking about?
He'll be after her estates to gamble them away.
Does anyone know what it means?
What?
Libertine. She means libertine.
Oh.
You know I was at college with him.
We can't permit it if you think him unsuitable, James.
Think it? I know it. I find it incredible that you let his suit continue.
He seemed very affable and...
Affable? Affable?
I think, my dear, we should follow James's advice. After all, he does know the fellow firsthand.
You're so indulgent with her.
Am I, James? I don't mean to be.
Yes, he's right. We've both been.
She's a dear child, an exceptional child, and I would like to see her content.
She's rejected so many suitors.
Someone else must be found for her.
Who?
Anyone that isn't him.
Yes, anyone.
Do you think they mean that, miss?
No, of course not, Hannah. You know my brother's hot head. And anyway, we can probably go in now. May we?
Oh, if you must, miss.
Hannah, none of my family would ever do me harm.
I've seen terrible things between families, miss, when jealousy...
Jealousy?
I'm talking out of turn, miss. Let's go in.
It was thought wise, dear Anna, that such a man of Mr. Lovelace's disposition should be deterred from his suit with courtesy. But my brother, having such antipathy towards the gentleman, took it upon himself to behave quite differently.
She's not in.
Mr. James Harlow, it's been so long, sir. I was hoping that I might see your sister. It was agreed yesterday, I believe, that I would visit again today.
She will not see.
I thought you said she wasn't here to see me, sir.
No, she's not.
Well, which is it, sir? She won't see me or she's not here.
Either way, you are not going to see my sister.
Why? Are you her keeper?
I'm her brother, sir.
I will see her.
You will not. You are not welcome here, sir, and you will leave.
Certainly, when your sister Clarissa has told me to do so, not her brother.
How dare you!
You mean to fight me, sir? You mean to draw blood rather than letting me take tea with your sister?
I do, sir.
Please return your sword to its sheath. I have no desire to hurt you.
You hurt me?
James, put down your saber. Let me see your sister. I have no wish to make you an enemy.
Draw your sword, Lovelace.
As you wish. On the ground, James Harlow, so quickly. You make it so easy for me. Now, let me in.
Never! Lovelace! Harlow, blood!
It's a light cut.
Get out! Get out! Always the same. Always the same, Lovelace. A villain and a murderer. It doesn't take long to pull that out of you, does it, sir? Kill me, then.
Why should I kill you, sir? You're the brother of my beloved. I will not taint our union by running my sword through her brother's heart. Though with one slight movement, I could... No, sir. I choose not to. And here, sir, take my hand and I will help you to your feet.
Oh, I want nothing from you.
Not even the generosity of sparing your life? Or is it the humiliation of your defeat that is so hard to endure? James Harlow. I remember you at college. I remember you for your heated temper and a man that did not know his limits.
You will leave my sister alone.
Will I, sir?
You will!
You must excuse my modernity, but surely that decision should lie with your sister rather than her brother. But I have an appointment at my tailor's and an evening of entertainment to attend. And if you will not take my hand, then you must make your own way up from the ground. I will see you anon, Mr. Harlow, and look forward to that honour with pleasure and relish. Do give my very finest regards to your exceptional sister, Clarissa.
Joseph. Joseph! Someone...
Good God, sir, you're bleeding.
Never mind that, Joseph. Just help me up.
James? Mama, something has happened to James. Mama! James, are you all right, James?
Hold on to my arm, sir. We'll walk back to the house.
Thank you.
No need to speak, sir. Just rest against me.
You're a good servant, Joseph. The best of them.
Don't speak, sir. Save your strength.
You're bleeding, James. You're bleeding. Lean against us both. Walk slowly now. Walk slowly. Mama! Mama, get Betty or Hannah. We must send for a doctor. He'll be all right, won't he, Joseph? Won't he, Joseph? Mama! Where is she?
I don't think it's as bad as it looks, miss.
Well, it feels bad.
Mama! It was Lovelace, wasn't it, James? Lovelace. He'll pay for this, won't he, James? We'll see that he pays for this. Mama!
And so, Anna, their mutual enmity was set. My brother is much recovered. Indeed, he was wounded only slightly, and a short fever followed, but he is, to the whole family's relief, much restored. As you have said, he has an imperious temper, and I fear launched himself at the unsuspecting Mr. Lovelace. Mr. Lovelace has, every day since, morning and afternoon, visited to inquire after my brother's health, but my family are now utterly against him. I fear from the passion we have already witnessed he will not give up his suit so easily. My family have expressed concern that I have fixed and certain feelings towards him, none of which I believe I possess. Indeed, I would not be in love with him for all the world.
For all the world, Clarissa Harlow? Sound and sure advice, but perhaps too ardently expressed to satisfy me entirely. I have recently been in the company of Charlotte Montague, a very fine lady indeed, and as you know, she resides with Mr. Lovelace's uncle and aunt, Lord M. and Lady Betty. It appears that your effect on Mr. Lovelace has quite overwhelmed him. Though Charlotte told me 100 wild tales concerning her cousin, a person willing to think favourably of him would hope that a brave, learned and diligent man cannot naturally be a bad man. But if he is guilty of even half of her stories, then he is certainly guilty of the inexcusable fault of being careless of his reputation. It is possible, of course, that such a man delights in infamy. Charlotte is, however, delighted that at this late stage he has discovered love. For from her accounts, that is what his feelings for you appear to be. Adieu, my dearest friend. Forgive me for my teasing. Knowing yet, never was there a heart that more glowed with friendly love than that of mine to yours. Anna.
He is said to be very suitable. Do you think that colour right, Clary? Couldn't you have worn blue? You look so delightful in blue.
Mr. Lovelace.
Now, Clary, we'll have none of Mr. Lovelace. James's wound has only just healed.
But you don't feel that James provoked him?
Clary, it is much talked over. He's a... what is it? What did James call him? A liver. Yes, he's a liver.
Mama.
Or was it a kidney? No, it was a three-syllable word beginning with...
A libertine.
Yes, a libber. A libber. A
libertine.
Yes. But then no one would tell me what it was. Do you know, Clary? I expect you do. Will you tell me?
Well, Mama, it's an unfortunate expression.
No, don't, if it's going to upset me. No, do.
Well, Mama.
No, don't. Do.
Mama.
Don't. No, don't. Oh, do.
May I present Mr. Soames?
Lady Harlow? Miss Harlow?
Sit down, Mr. Soames, please.
There's a seat next to my sister. Sit there, Mr. Soames.
It will be an honour to sit so near such a lady.
Tea?
Tea, indeed.
Sugar?
Five.
Five? Clary, would you like tea?
Yes, thank you, Mama.
Let me help you, Lady Harlow.
Thank you.
Miss Harlow?
Thank you, Mr. Soames.
James?
Not for me, Mother.
A biscuit, Mr. Soames.
Biscuits, yes.
How many?
Three.
Three.
Thank you, Lady Harlow.
Clary?
No, thank you, Mother.
Clarissa, may I call you Clarissa? I already feel I know you so well. I have an extensive estate, you know.
Do you?
Not far from yours.
Mine?
The ones you've inherited.
Oh, yes. I feel they are not quite mine until my cousin, Colonel Morden, returns from Italy to finalise all agreements.
You must be pleased.
Pleased?
Yes, pleased, Clary. Aren't you pleased that you will soon be independent of us all and a lady of real means?
Well, I didn't expect it.
Oh, indeed, did you not?
It was wonderful of my dear and greatly missed grandfather, but perhaps a little unwise. I mean...
A little unwise.
I mean, it's a large legacy and, well, I'm not sure why he left it to me as the youngest in the family.
James, do you mean to say something?
Only that Clary's chair is further from Mr. Soames than it was at the beginning of tea.
More biscuits?
Oh, yes. I've quite finished them. Thank you, Lady Harlow, so kind.
James, I haven't moved it at all.
I, for one, am very pleased that he left you his estate.
And why would that be?
Well, I thought... I mean, well, I'm here. I mean, I thought it was a foregone conclusion. I mean, our estates are next to each other. Well, could I have another of your wonderful biscuits, Lady Harlow?
Of course.
That would be eight.
Eight what?
Biscuits.
There's nothing wrong with a man with a good appetite, Clary.
Mr. Lovelace is here again, sir.
Again? I thought it had been made clear, Betty.
He was asking after the young master's health, sir.
He was hoping to see Clary.
Have not our feelings been made clear?
Oh, I believe so, sir.
Then why does he still visit?
Because he's encouraged.
By whom?
By Clary, of course. Clary writes to him, or she sends messages through Miss Howe.
Anna Howe?
Oh, yes, he's a great favourite in their household.
How do you know this, Betty?
Hannah says she confides in me, sir, and she's worried for her mistress.
So he's still pursuing her?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, he must be stopped.
Marriage would stop him.
I don't know why you find him so disagreeable.
Ow! That hurts, Bella.
Sorry. Better? Your hair is too fine.
He is not agreeable, and you know it full well.
Mr. Soames is a fine suitor. A man of wealth and substance. And anyway, what did you expect after chasing a libertine? You're writing to him, are you not? Sneaking your letters out through Anna.
Ow!
Oh, brush your own hair then.
I am writing to him because I fear for James. If we reject him too avidly, then I am concerned that he will take vengeance on our family.
You expect me to believe that? I think him perfectly right for you. Mr. Soames, I mean, rather than your favourite.
How is he perfectly right for me?
Well, you, well, you both like biscuits.
Oh!
I know he is very much older than you and not of the same... Oh, what is it now? Eloquence, dignity, grace. Oh, and I forget. Beauty, Clarissa Harlowe's virtue and near godliness. Are you not blessed to have such a sister, people say to me as they look upon me and my pink, fatted face?
Bella.
You know the servants are all armed now.
Armed?
Against your libertine. He almost killed James. Oh, it's a shame rich old Soames isn't more to your liking. You know Lord M has written to Papa on behalf of your Lovelace in the hope that he might find favour with us again. But that will never happen. You must know that. We will not be bullied. They'll have to marry you off quickly to be rid of him. And anyway, you'll do your duty. You're too good not to. Mama has arranged another meeting with Mr. Soames and yourself tomorrow.
I haven't agreed to this.
Clary, do you really think you are in a position to agree or not agree? It is only through God's blessing that James still lives.
She refuses to come down, my lady.
Refuses?
Yes, my lady.
Refuses her family?
She is quite tearful, my lady.
But Mr. Soames is waiting for her.
Yes.
Does she know that?
Yes, my lady.
Then I will go to her and see if she can be persuaded to come down.
Very good, my lady.
You make us quite angry, Clary. Mr. Soames has been waiting for you for an hour.
He seems to live here.
Clary, he's a worthy man. Perhaps not everything I would have wanted for you, but a virtuous man with no vices.
No vices? Have I not always been a dutiful daughter?
Yes.
Then please, Mama, I...
Come, my dear and favourite child. Surely you cannot love a libertine?
Libertine?
Yes, that word, whatever it means. Would you wish to marry someone who would have killed your brother and who continues to defy us all?
It was a slight cut.
Tell me, Clary, I have a right to know. Do you prefer this man against all others? Do you prefer him? Clary, why do you hesitate?
My dearest Mama, has my conduct been so faulty, so like a giddy creature, that I must be married off to a man I detest?
You have turned down others before him, and your Papa and I, being indulgent parents, have accepted your wishes. But this now is too much.
A man who repulses me in every way, Mama, dear Mama.
I see who you have in your eye. You cannot fool me, Clarissa. Comply, Clary. Accept Mr. Soames, or be in a state of defiance with your whole family.
I do not, nor have I, encouraged Mr. Lovelace.
But you have written to him.
You may see all my letters to him, so you may be a witness to my conduct.
Thank you. I will do so. But writing itself encourages.
My heart is free.
Then by your duty, apply your free heart to Mr. Soames.
What virtue is there in a life snapped up by a man who at every turn of his manner disgusts me? Where is the virtue in that?
I will not be argued with. Am I not your mother? Are you not my daughter? Oh, come in.
My dear, you are long absent. Dinner is almost ready. Surely you have nothing to say but to declare your will, my will. Let us have you both down, your daughter, if worthy of that name, in hand. You will come shortly, both.
Yes, my dear. Come, Clary.
No, I cannot.
Cannot?
If I go down there, it will be as if I have acquiesced and it will give hope.
And so you should,
dearest Mama. I would rather die than be Mrs. Soames.
Now, come. No more of your flutterings. I will make an excuse for you. But you will write to Mr. Lovelace, breaking off all communication. Do you understand, Clary?
Yes. Yes.
Now, where are those letters?
In my desk. Here, take them.
Thank you. I will leave you now.
Thank you, Mama.
Clary, you need to know that the settlements for the marriage are drawn up.
Pardon, miss.
No, come in, Hannah. Come in. Mama's returned to below.
Can I get you anything, miss?
No, Hannah. Thank you.
Oh, miss, it's awful to see you so upset and them so angry with you. They love you so, miss. I always thought you being the loveliest daughter you could hope for. Sorry, miss. Am I talking out of turn?
No, Hannah. You never talk out of turn. And you're being very kind.
I mean, miss, and he's so creepy. Well, I know you shouldn't talk about people like that, but creepy he is. And he don't take his eyes off you, does he, Mr. Soames? It's rude, I think, to stare like he thinks you're already his. Oh, sorry. I'm just upset for you. It's your brother and sister's doing. They're so jealous of you, miss, to hear them talking. I know I shouldn't say, but you've always been so gentle about your brother and sister, as you are about all things. It's envy, miss. I know it's envy. It's such a feeling in the heart that it rots you. There's no reasoning with it when it has a hold.
No more, Hannah.
I do fear for you, miss. Your brother holds such weight with your father and uncles and your good mama. Oh, I've said too much.
Nothing that isn't true.
Breaks my heart to see such a family torn apart.
My dear Anna, I can hardly begin to relay events here. My family are quite determined that I should marry Mr. Soames, a man I believe you know of. Old, rich Mr. Soames, a man so loathsome to me, ugly in speech and manner. Yesterday, I found him standing in the hall. He appears to live here. He was eating.
Oh, Clarissa!
Mr. Soames!
About to walk?
I'm sorry, I can't quite understand you.
A walk?
A walk?
Hmm.
No, thank you.
Oh, you sure?
No, I still don't understand you.
Are you sure?
Yes, certain.
Oh. Could you ask Anna to get me some more biscuits if you're going that way?
He was holding two further biscuits in his hand and put both into his mouth as I turned to go. Mr. Lovelace continues to write to myself and to my family, hoping to find favour with them again, but each letter hurries them into the need to have me married. I do not know what to do. Adieu, my dearest friend.
Dearest madam, I find that I cannot obey your wishes and end communications. I have more reason than ever from the contents of your last letter to apprehend that you will be prevailed upon by force to fall in with your brother's measures and your eternal unhappiness set for a lifetime with the man Soames. You must know that I despise myself for my past follies, and I thank God that I have seen the error of my ways and nothing but your particular instructions are wanting to perfect my reformation. Grant me but one half-hour interview. Let me meet with you. Come to the garden at night. I will wait in the green lane next to the ivy summer house. Let me show you how I have altered. How knowing you has changed my life forever. Your devoted servant, Robert Lovelace.
Joseph.
Oh, let me help you, Miss Bella.
Thank you, Betty.
Did you get caught in the rain, Miss Bella?
Yes.
Oh, I'll see that dries, Miss.
And take this. Take my cane, Joseph. Take it.
Yes, Lord Harlow. And your hat, Lady Harlow?
Oh, yes. We're all in a fluster, Joseph.
I thought you said she wasn't communicating with him anymore.
Perhaps that's why he was there.
Who was there?
Lovelace.
What?
He stared outrageously at us.
He was at church. Our church?
James, calm yourself.
He's long gone now.
What did he hope to achieve? Do you think he means to take her off?
I think the man capable of anything.
What do you think, my dear?
I don't know what to think. He's a violent man, we all know that.
We must be more vigilant.
How?
Take her keys from her.
Her keys, Bella?
Yes, so she's locked in at night.
Oh, Bella!
Well, isn't that when people elope?
Bella!
She's in love with him, Mama. Women in love, even ones as dutiful as Clary, aren't to be relied upon to behave well.
She's right.
Take her keys, then.
She'll still be writing to him and to Anna Howe, who only encourages. You know how these silly girls prop each other up.
If we're not vigilant, she'll shame us all. If she is isolated, then I am certain she will contemplate her duty to you with greater urgency.
What are you doing? Where's Hannah?
Dismissed, miss.
Dismissed? Why?
Not for me to say, miss.
But you're Bella's maid.
Both are yours now, I am told.
What are you doing?
I've been told to get your keys.
By whom?
By the rest of the family.
Please, give them back.
Oh, can't, miss. I only do what I'm told.
Betty Barnes, give me my keys.
I would if I could, miss. You can't be trusted with your own liberty. Their words, not mine. Till you agree to marry Mr. Soames. Not that that's for me to say, but that's what to gather is the case, miss. He seems a nice enough gentleman to me, miss. I'm very rich. A bit slobbery about the mouth, but that's probably to do with his age. They say they get slobbery past 40. Can't be helped. And you like the same things.
What are they, Betty?
Biscuits.
I don't like biscuits.
Oh. I thought you did. I thought everyone liked biscuits. Maybe it's learning that's put you off them.
I beg your pardon.
My mother says learning makes women proud and they shouldn't have any of it. Latin and Greek. No one speaks that, do they? Well, what's the point of that, then, when all you need in life is a clean husband, a nice cup of tea, and a biscuit?
I want to talk to Hannah. Oh,
why? Is it something I've said? You take everything so personal, miss. I was only saying what my old ma says.
Do you know if Hannah is still here?
Oh, no. Packed and gone, miss. She did look teary.
Has Mr. Soames gone?
Yes, just... You want me to fetch him back?
No.
It's no trouble if you do.
Can I have my keys back?
Don't place me between the household and you, miss. Only following instructions.
Dearest Anna, they have taken my keys from me, so I no longer have my liberty or my privacy. And my family have dismissed my dear Hannah, replacing her with Betty Barnes, my sister's maid. I believe all this is to break my spirit, in the hope that I will agree to submit the rest of my life to a man I detest. I don't know what to do. They are all against me. I will leave my letters in the usual place, in the green lane that runs alongside the ivy summer house, and leave a chalk mark to say it is there for your servant to collect. Your devoted friend, Clarissa.
It's very good of you to come, Mrs. Norton.
Not at all, Lady Harlow.
If you can persuade her, which I doubt.
My dear, I know you know much of the details. You're such a great favourite of hers.
You're only here on the understanding that you will ask her to do her duty.
She's not permitted to see anyone.
Not anymore. She's abused our trust and faith.
It's hoped that her solitude will make her contemplative.
Yes, she has taken such liberties with my dear papa and mama's patience.
This is the fifth suitor she's turned down.
No one is good enough for her.
And you know we are all very worried about Mr. Lovelace.
He tried to murder James. Oh. We think he will stop at nothing.
We don't know that, Bella.
I know that. It's a self-imposed solitude.
Which is of her willful making.
And is broken by your visit. I hope you will use your time with her wisely.
I'm sure I will.
My dear Mrs. Norton, could you think that my Clarissa and your Clarissa are capable of such perverseness?
Oh, that's the word. Perverseness.
But see what you can do with her. The matter has gone too far to be receded by our parts. Her father has settled the agreements with Mr. Soames, and they are exceedingly generous to not only Clarissa, but to the whole family.
I see.
So much depends on her goodwill. And Mr. Soames is hoping by patience and good treatment hereafter, and by degrees of will, that love will blossom between them.
He is good enough to overlook this initial belligerence on her part.
You must agree that it is a child's duty to submit to her parents' authority, particularly in a matter so important as marriage, where a young heart can so easily make a mistake that will last a lifetime.
We will not be made fools of.
No, we won't.
We will not be bullied out of this marriage by a cursed rake.
No.
If she does not oblige us, or worse, if she marries this Lovelace, we will litigate every last shilling from her, and she will have no family to call her own. Please do apply full force to what we wish.
I do my best, Lord Harlow.
There is a weakness in female minds of my sister's years, Mrs. Norton, a kind of romantic grief in which a young woman is likely to risk anything for her supposed tragic love.
So true, James. If she cannot be prevailed upon, then we can only assume that the man we all hate has attached himself to her heart, which is not free, as she claims.
Try your best with her, Mrs. Norton, and then I shall come up and bring her down with my arms about her to receive her father and all our blessings, if she can be prevailed upon.
No, dear Mrs. Norton, I cannot.
But they regard it as obstinacy, or worse, my dear Clarissa, they regard it as rebellion.
I will not marry Mr. Soames.
But it is their wish and your duty as their daughter to obey them. This is so unlike you, dear sweet girl.
What virtue is there in agreeing to something that repulses you? Someone that will cut your life short, something that will mean no happiness to Mr. Soames or myself. James is set against me, as is Bella, so much of what is happening is their doing. I cannot believe that my mamma or my papa would wish me to be unhappy for the rest of my days.
You have always been their jewel, and a dutiful and sweet daughter. I fear you are possessed by a strength that only love can give. You are quite caught.
Caught?
I beseech you, do nothing hasty, nothing rash.
I've no intention of doing so.
Mr. Lovelace cannot deserve you. You must see that. I know he's a handsome man, is he not? I have seen him and talked with him on one occasion. I believe he is quite notorious. But, Clarissa, he is not the right man. You know that. You must see that. Oh, your dress is tangled. Let me help you. Why isn't your maid dressing you?
I would rather dress myself. They dismissed Hannah. And Betty is, well, my sister's maid.
I know they dismissed, dear Hannah, but fear that this is just the beginning of what your family will do to you. Clarissa, you must comply for your own sake. If your heart is free, apply it to Mr. Soames. By not doing so, don't you see, they believe that you are quite swept away by Mr. Lovelace. I see the temptation of such a person. Oh, and the belief that such a person can change. But surely, Clarissa, you, who are so informed, of such exceptional intelligence, cannot believe in Beauty and the Beast.
I believe in redemption. As one of God's creatures, I believe that all can be reclaimed by him.
Oh, Clarissa.
Surely you believe in the power of redemption, in the magnanimity of faith.
Yes, of course I do. I just think that it's never wise to test God too much. Your duty is to your parents. Your parents' duty is to God. It is a lineage that should not be broken, Clarissa.
My dear Clarissa, there is no merit in your compliance if it is not against your will. That is the Christian path.
Only consider that this is not a small thing that is insisted upon. This is for my life. Consider, too, that all this is to do with an overbearing brother who governs everyone. He is to extend his estates if I am to marry, but more than that, it is driven by his hatred of Mr. Lovelace and his jealousy of me. Surely my future and my happiness should not be driven by the whims of a brother.
Clarissa, there are so few of us who are blessed with your prudence and your distinguished talents. They are sprinkled across the world so lightly. Do not insult God and faith by wasting such gifts. What a loss to virtue would be the loss of you. Will you or will you not be Mrs. Soames?
Death will I choose, in any shape, rather than have this man.
So you won't comply with your parents' wishes?
You no longer knock, brother.
She would sooner die rather than...
have anyone other than Lovelace. Well, Goody Norton, you may return to your own habitation. I am empowered to forbid you any correspondence with this perverse child. If, that is, you value your favour with the rest of the household, you may leave us.
James!
Now.
Oh, Clarissa.
My dearest Clarissa, you write of such bullying. You, who have always been so kind, so gentle towards your brother and sister, I cannot believe your loving parents, particularly your kind mamma, are capable of such harshness. You must continue dialogue with them, persuade them, remind them of your extraordinary merits, of who and what you are, my gentle Clarissa. We cannot, you cannot matter so little to be cajoled, wire-drawn and ensnared like a silly bird into a bondage or vile subordination. To be courted as a princess for a few weeks in order to be treated as a slave for the rest of your life? For that is what we both know he will do. My dear one, I will pray for you and send you my heartfelt love. Your friend, Anna.
I have been waiting in the coppice on Green Lane next to the Ivy Summer House for 3 nights. I await 1 half-hour interview. Do not let your family cajole you into a choice you will regret for all your days. Your devoted servant, Robert Lovelace.
And this too, Betty. Mm-hmm. Come, Sister Clary, will you not even look at them?
What about pews?
Not for a wedding, Betty.
Oh, I like pews. Lemon yellow can be very nice.
Or crimson.
Oh, this pattern looks a fine cut. Brings out your waist, Miss Clary.
If you won't look at the patterns for your wedding dress, then at least touch these fabrics, Clarissa. Oh, this silk, it's so soft.
Oh, and doesn't this taffeta rustle so, Miss Feller?
Maybe you should marry in black, Clary. Black velvet to suit your demeanour. Oh, come, Clary, have a look.
Please, Bella.
Mr. Soames talks of laying out £2,000 or £3,000 in presents for you and jewels worth hundreds. What a husband he will be.
Let go, Bella, let go of me. Is this how you're to treat me now? To assault me?
It was a light tug.
How have I hurt you?
Hurt me? If you ever did, all that is past. Look at you, the radiant, the beautiful, the virtuous and gifted Clarissa, look at you now. You can no longer hurt me.
Please put those dress patterns and fabrics away. I will never wear any of them.
You are so naive. The dress is already made. It's blue. Mama loves you in blue.
It's made?
You're to be sent away to Uncle Anthony's estate, where there is no chance your Lovelace can get to you, and where there's a chapel.
The chapel?
Yes. Well, the settlements are agreed. It's all been decided upon, as has the date.
The date?
Why, your wedding, Clary. Has no one told you it's to be next week? Wednesday, you're to go to Uncle Anthony's estate to be married.
Dear Mr. Soames, I am writing to you as one quite desperate, and I hope you will forgive the frankness of what I am about to communicate. When you first met me, I was one of the happiest creatures in the world, beloved by the best of parents, rejoicing in the kind affections of my uncles and in the esteem of everyone. But how this happy scene has changed. You were pleased to cast a favourable eye on myself. You addressed yourself to my relations. Your proposals were approved of by them, without consulting me, as if my choice and happiness were of the least significance. You know my mind. But to my mortification and surprise, you have persisted and still persist. I am now used on your account by my beloved family as I never have been. Thus distressed and made unhappy, and all for your sake, through your cruel perseverance. Would a prudent man wish to marry one who cannot esteem him, who therefore must prove a bad wife? Any other of my sex will make you happier than I. The obstinacy, as it is called, with which I support myself ought to convince you of this. I cannot consent to marry a man whom I cannot value. But if, sir, you have not so much generosity in your value of me as to desist for my own sake, let me conjure you, by regard due to yourself and to your own future happiness, to discontinue your suit, and place your affections on a worthier object. You need only see that there is no hope, as you will perhaps complacently call it, of succeeding with me. Please, if you have any fondness for me, let me return to the happy state I lived in before your suit. Your humble servant, Clarissa Harlowe.
Dearest Miss, your letter has had a very contrary effect to what you seem to have expected from it. It has doubly convinced me of the excellency of your mind and the honour of your disposition. As your good family are absolutely determined, you shall never have Mr. Lovelace, and as I presume no other person is in the way, I will contentedly await the matter. Pardon me, dear miss, but I must persevere, though I am sorry you suffer on my account, for I never before saw a lady I could love. And while there is any hope, I must remain your faithful and obsequious admirer. Roger Soames.
Where are you going?
For my walk. Am I not permitted a walk each day in the garden, Betty?
Oh, yes, your walk. I need your help to pack your bags, miss.
My bags?
For Wednesday, miss, when you depart for your uncle's. It's wet out there, miss. You best take a coat.
Did you ask my mamma if she would speak with me?
Oh, she's in awe of you. That's why she won't come. I don't know why you keep asking. You hurt her heart, they all say, with your clever, educated words. Not a good thing, though, is it? Or, my mother says it isn't.
I'm going for my walk.
You'll need a thicker coat than that. It's cold outside. Oh, I can see Mr. Soames and your brother in the garden. She's gone.
Oh, James.
It's all agreed. I don't know why you're fretting. Then how like a little fool she will look with her conscience upbraiding her and begging of you with a whining voice to forgive and forget.
Oh, James.
In only a matter of days, my dear Mr. Soames, I shall call you brother.
Are you certain?
It is all in hand. James has thought of everything.
She'll be happy in time, and certainly more than most of my friends. She seems afraid of me.
That's useful in a wife, is it not?
Bella.
Well, thinking about it, I suppose it is. Terror and fear look pretty in a young bride.
Very.
she probably then.
What did you say? Tell me, James, what did you two say?
It's not for your ears, Bella. Men's talk.
Tell me.
She be probably me.
Oh, you naughty men.
Someone there?
No one's there, James. Come along.
My dearest Anna, I have just returned from a garden walk, where I overheard my sister, my brother, and Mr. Soames in conversation. I cannot understand how I have earned such contempt. I have always loved them so. It seems I am to be sent away,
My mother will no longer talk to me. My reasoning falls on unhearing ears. I am desperate. I am compelled to play the hypocrite and marry a man who, with pride, professes to take delight in the curbing and sinking of a woman's spirit. I had hoped to delay them until my cousin, Colonel Morden, arrives, but they are set against that. But what creature can think of marrying so as to live at continual enmity with all her relations? I enclose a letter sent to me by Mr. Lovelace. He says that he has more reasons than ever, from news he has heard regarding my family, how he receives this news is unclear to me, that I am to be prevailed upon by force, if not by fair means, to fall in with my brother's measures, and sees but too plainly that I am preparing him to expect it. Please, my dearest Clarissa,
do not give in to their malice. You must know that I promise to do everything I can do with honour to bring about a reconciliation between your family and myself. I offer you my protection. I agree to comply with all your conditions. I assure you that your family will be desirous for reconciliation the moment you are out of their power. I suggest that you put yourself into the protection of my uncle, Lord M, and the ladies of the household, Charlotte Montague and Lady Betty. If that is not agreeable, I would also be happy to set you up in a house of your own in London, which I would fill with my family and lady visitors.
The third suggestion is to meet and marry him directly. A man whose morals I am far from being satisfied with, a step that could not be taken with the least hope of ever obtaining a reconciliation with any of my family, and against which 1,000 objections spring to mind. No, this cannot be thought of. For the fifth night in a row, he tells me, he sleeps in the coppice near the Ivy Summer House. He begs me to meet him there. As I write to you, it will be Wednesday tomorrow, the day I am to be sent to Uncle Antony's for my marriage to Mr. Soames.
Your bags are packed, miss. I knew you wouldn't help me, so I packed as best I could. Sad doings. Very sad that young ladies should so violently set themselves against their duty. Really, such a fuss, miss. They don't die, you know. Husbands, eventually.
Where are you going?
The garden. My walk, and to visit the Ivy Summer House.
I expect you want to say goodbye to it, don't you, miss? Still, I expect Mr. Soames has a huge summer house. You'll need a coat! As if she listens to anyone but herself.
How long have you been here?
It's my seventh night.
Have you slept in here?
No. I was worried about being discovered. I've slept in the coppice.
I can't come with you.
Then you're to marry Soames?
No.
You'll be compelled.
I can't leave.
You must. On Wednesday, you'll be his.
No, I will never be that man's wife, and nor will I come with you.
I have been waiting for 6 nights. For you, out in the cold damp. I have a chariot. I have men. You can come with me now and escape this marriage.
I must return to the house.
I see your spirits have finally been crushed by your brother and sister.
I am convinced that Wednesday is not intended to be the day we have both so dreaded. And if, after that day, my family are still determined that I marry Mr. Soames, then I will find some contrivance to meet you and Miss Howe. Now I must return.
Dearest madam.
I shan't be his. Be assured, you have my word, Mr. Lovelace. I would sooner die than marry him. If you would have me rely upon your honour, then why should you doubt mine?
I don't doubt your honour. I doubt your power. Dearest creature, please, permit me. Please, come with me.
Let go of me. Do you intend to keep me here until they are suspicious to my whereabouts? Do you mean to raise an alarm by keeping me here with you? If you wish me to think generously of you, then let me go.
My happiness and your happiness depend upon this moment.
I will not be threatened into rashness.
The way is clear, just now, the way is clear. On Wednesday, dearest creature, this Wednesday, 2 days, your own appointment calls upon you.
I promise you this step, once you are no longer within their authority, this step will bring reconciliation and your family back to their senses, rather than lose their beloved Clarissa.
You are no better. You are to compel me as they do. I won't bear it. Your earnestness gives me greater apprehensions and greater reluctance. Let me go back in before it is too late. I fear every moment now they will be upon us.
I have a carriage and horses. Just the other side of the coppice. We've been waiting for you to grant you your rightful freedom. I only come at your request.
Let go of my hand, or I will cry out for help.
Then let me accompany you back to the house. I will attend you. I will face them all to plead once more for your hand, not as a revenger, but as a gentleman.
Whatever do you mean, Mr. Lovelace? Would you put both of us at risk?
I have skulked like a thief along these walls for too long and borne insults from your brother and your family. Let me talk to them. I know I can persuade them. Life is nothing without you. Lead on, my dear creature.
Please, leave. Must I never be at liberty to follow my own judgment?
Forgive me. Forgive me. Command me with you, command me from you, but Wednesday, think on Wednesday. The carriage is but beyond the coppice. Clarissa.
He's in there! I saw him going!
We are found!
Come, my beloved, come quickly.
Come out this moment! This moment! The pistol, sir!
Clarissa, please. Before it's too late. Please, my beloved. Please.
Take my hand!
In Clarissa by Samuel Richardson. Clarissa Harlow was played by Zoe Waits. Robert Lovelace, Richard Armitage. James Harlow, Oliver Milburn. Soames, Stephen Critchlow. And Bella Harlow was Sophie Thompson. Lady Harlow was Alison Steadman. Lord Harlow was John Rowe. Mrs. Norton, Deborah Findlay. And Anna Howe was Kathy Sarah. Other parts were played by members of the company. Clarissa was adapted by Hattie Naylor, directed by Marilyn Imrie, and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 4.
What a place to leave it. Well, no prizes for guessing that in the second part, Clarissa begins to learn of the darker side to Lovelace's character.
Hello, Mel Gedroych here, and you can join me every weekday afternoon right here on BBC Radio 4 Extra for the 4 o'clock show. Here's a little taste of just something we got up to last week. It's time now for our regular nature feature, and in our current series, we've been celebrating the ridiculous, or what might seem ridiculous to the non-naturalist. I'm talking about personal obsessions, yeah? Where nothing in the natural world is out of bounds, not even John Craven. Here's Matthew Oates.
Today in Pursuit of the Ridiculous, we're delving into the nether regions of some unmentionably rare, precious and downright confusing orchids. We're at Hartslock Nature Reserve near Goring, which is owned by the Barks, Bucks and Oxen Wildlife Trust, universally known as BBOUT. Now, I have to confess that I've always wanted to visit this stretch of steep slope downland overlooking the Thames, having gazed upon it lovingly out of train windows, and I've long been aware of its status as one of the most special places in Britain for wild orchids. Now, with me now is Reserve Warden Chris Raper. Now, Chris, this place is renowned for a single species of wild orchid.
That would be the monkey orchid, Matthew.
The monkey orchid. Can we go and see one?
We can indeed, yes. Just follow me up through the gate. If you just mind your step. It's a bit slippery underfoot, but just the other side of this dogwood. Here we are. In amongst the scrub is a little monkey orchid.
But he's tiny.
Well,
absolutely exquisite little thing. He's a monkey orchid because there's a tiny little crimson freckled mannequin with purple legs and arms underneath a huge, well, it's not huge, it's gigantic bonnet. And between his legs is his tail. It is an exquisite little plant and just not what one would expect to find here in the English countryside, really. It looks incredibly exotic.
It is.